NBC Sports. On WCBC, leader in high school sports coverage since 1976. This is High School Game Day, recorded live every Thursday evening inside Bellinopoly on Green Street with WCBC morning sportscaster and sports team member Garrett Egan and coach Mike Allen. High School Game Day airs Fridays at 5 just before sports team game coverage. It's a look at last week's team performance, outstanding players, and what might be in the weekend ahead, plus interviews, information, and stats. High School Game Day, brought to you by Bellinopoly on Green Street, D&D Motors, Barton and Bel Air, Puffenberger Carpets, Greenspring, The Final Touch and Riverside Sports, 920 Kelly Road, Frankenberry Insurance on Volkey Road in LaVale, Queen City Motors, 99 Henderson Avenue in Cumberland, and Webco Federal Credit Union. And now from WCBC Sports, High School Game Day.
Hello, it is high school football game day. We're at Bellinopoly here on Green Street. Jim Zamias, along with Roxione and Tony Orndorff. Rock, it takes three of us to replace Garrett and Mike Allen. Those two guys will be back next week, so that's good news for our listeners.
Yeah, they'll be the first ones to tell us that it took three to replace them. And all our best to Garrett, of course. He's on his honeymoon in Hawaii, as I recall. And we wish him and Courtney all the best in the world. Mike Allen, hi. Haven't seen you for a while.
Garrett, go ahead, Tony. Well, I was going to say, Garrett, not busy enough to not text me to remind me to make sure I turn my picks in on time. So he did have time. He was able to carve some time out to remind me. And I'm happy for the reminder.
I'm not going to even comment on that.
Here we are at Bellinopoly. We're looking out at Green Street. Cumberland's number one waitress, Molly, is taking care of us, and we love coming to Bellinopoly. So, segment one of High School Football Game Day, and we'll stick to what Garrett and Mike do to some degree. We'll stray a little bit in the middle of the show. It's a review of last weekend, and Rock, let's start with Allegheny's first win of the season, 26-14 at Abergallatin up in Uniontown. It was a Thursday night game, and again, Allegheny enforced its will against a very physically talented Gallatin team. But it's just great to see Allegheny's physical strength kind of impose their will on the game. The longer it went, the stronger the Campers looked.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, Albert Gallatin, people that follow high school football think of them as a mediocre team, but they certainly didn't have mediocre talent. They hit hard. They had good running backs. Defensively, they played well. But, yeah, imposing their will, yeah, I think that's fair to say Allegheny did that, especially when at the times when they really needed to move the football. That offensive line really showed that there's a lot of potential there.
Tony, it was also a game where Allegheny was able to complete some short passes. They got Sebastian Stewart, who's the lefty, rolling left. He just hit short passes to keep the chains moving. And, boy, that really helps.
No, it was absolutely what Allegheny was going to have to do, is just figure out a way to do something other than run the ball at the line. I mean, I was at the Oakdale game, and Jackson Resch had a great game, and he'll give you everything he's got. But after a while, it's too easy for the defense to be able to figure out what they're going to do and tee off. And I was impressed. I listened to that, you know, pretty much that whole Allegheny game, you know, when they beat Gallatin, and I thought it seemed like it was going to slip away from them. It seemed like Gallatin was going to be able to put it together. They were at home. And Allegheny hung in there and made plays when they had to, and that's impressive for a team that, I mean, that's a crucial game right there. If they lose that game, I think it really does, it just gets increasingly harder to motivate your guys, to get them to not think about the next season. A lot of them are going to play basketball, and instead they got that win. You can take a deep breath. You can relax. You can say we can just refocus. And remember, too, that, you know, we're going to be as good as we are by the end of the season. We're going to make the playoffs no matter what because we're in the state of Maryland. So just keep plugging away and doing what you do. But that win was big. And I didn't think – I mean, I think I picked Gallatin the week before, and I thought Allegheny was going to let it slip away. But hats off to them and to Coach Hansel for not doing that.
All right, let's then talk about the game we did Friday night, Rock, and that was Fort Hill 28, Hollidaysburg 14. Hollidaysburg came in unbeaten. Fort Hill's only lost to Dunbar. And that was an entertaining contest, too. We really enjoyed doing that one. Great atmosphere up at Greenway. Hollidaysburg brings their cheerleaders. They bring a band down with over 100 members. It takes at least two buses to bring them down. It was just a lot of fun, even though it was drizzly up here at Greenway.
It was a great night. The temperatures remained, I think, in the low 70s, so the rain wasn't that much of a factor, I don't think. It didn't rain really very hard, except for a couple of moments. Nash Castle, the quarterback, I think was one story for Fort Hill. I think that young man, it looked to me that he's really gaining confidence. Let's face it, at Fort Hill, he's not going to be asked to throw the football, you know, 25 times. Not saying he couldn't do that if that was the offense they ran, but I think he's comfortable with the passing game they have, and he looked to me like he had command of the huddle and confidence under center. And Hollidaysburg, you know, golly, they must have dressed, what'd we say, close to 60?
Right.
Close to 60 kids. But their quarterback, Bainey, he had a, I hate to say a high school kid had a letdown, because that doesn't seem fair, but it wasn't his best night. And he has, we saw him against Allegheny, of course, so we have something to judge it against. And he really has some top flight receivers, but it wasn't his night. And we said Saturday morning quarterback, a lot of that credit goes to that Fort Hill secondary, because it's, I don't know if intimidated him was the right word, but I think they made him think twice from the opening whistle to the end of the game about how they were going to react to anything he did. And Braylon Younger, Jabril Daniels, Jamel Daniels, and the Taylor boy really
Deke,
did
yeah.
great. Deke Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, two interceptions for Braylon Younger. Tony, you've gone to a lot of Fort Hill games in your life. Your dad goes to every one of them. And I think that quarterback, Bainey, did get happy feet. The pass rush, Nick Willison's always making some tackle in the backfield. And then that secondary, they just, you can beat them for a moment, but by the time you let go of the ball, they've made up the ground. They knock it away at the last minute. And I don't think that quarterback was in his comfort zone down at Greenway.
No, and you know, and it is that mystique of Greenway. It's a reason why some of the coaches tell people not to look at them coming down the steps, not
right.
to watch them, you know, warm up. And I'm going to bring two NFL teams in as we were talking about this. I thought of one is the Seattle Seahawks, and the idea of that 12th man, that idea mm-hmm. of that crowd and the atmosphere being an advantage, and that is so true at Fort Hill at Greenway. Just the atmosphere, the horn, everything that it says home of the Sentinels there as they come down. That is a thing you don't really see. You know, I go all over West Virginia, and outside of maybe Bridgeport is the only time I ever felt that kind of energy in a building the way you do at Fort Hill. And the other thing is the Chiefs. The other team I'm thinking of is the Chiefs, because they keep winning this year. They don't look pretty. They do as much as they need to, and that's kind of Fort Hill at the beginning of the season as well. We'll figure it out. We're going to, you know, we'll take our lumps with Dunbar, but that's as going to be as big a game for them losing as any of the wins early on, what they learned about themselves. So they kind of are going to do enough. You know, two-touchdown win over Hollidaysburg, they're better than a two-touchdown win over that, but that's what they needed that night, and that's all they needed to do. Their secondary is always, you know, their defense is always good. You know, growing up, I always remember them winning the toss and wanting to go out on defense. They wanted to go out on defense so that they could, they knew their defense was going to shut them down, and then maybe the other team would never get the ball back. They would run, they would just take it and then take it in the second half. So they have a lot of confidence in that defense, and they'll figure things out. By the middle of the season last year, they're running the Maryland eye. They're doing all kinds of different stuff. They're putting Daniels in different places. The team that played Dunbar will not be the team that plays in the state championship at the end of the year.
All right. You know, Tony, bring up an interesting thing. We're going to rely on I'm the veteran broadcaster. We're going to go to senior broadcaster Roxione here. See, Chris,
broadcaster emeritus?
Chris Myers for that.
Okay.
Rock, speaking of coin tosses, back when you played and when I was growing up, did you have the option to defer or no?
No,
explain to tell the listeners what we're talking about here.
Well, back in the day, God, I won't say when it was, but either
60s kicked, and 70s.
Yeah,
at
either
least.
Kicked off or received, and of course, then they changed it later on, and you had another choice, and that is you could defer your call into the and. You know, most teams will go on offense. Some don't. Some will take defense. And then if you won the toss and you go on defense, then you get the football in the second half. So, no, they didn't have that way back in the day. And it's, you know, in high school, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, to strategize about. Certainly if you have a good kicker, that's really going to enter into it. Some teams do. Some we see throughout the year have no kicking game whatsoever. The other thing I was thinking about when you kind of gave us the cheat notes about high school football and some things to talk about is how the field goal, you asked me about the coin toss, how the field goal has become a part of high school football around here. I mean, it was unheard of back not too many years ago, but
Well, and when Allegheny was winning state titles under Jack Gilmore, Tony, in the late 80s, they didn't even kick. They went for two every time. Mm-hmm. And now it's almost unthinkable to not have a place kicker.
No, we see, you know, it's funny. It's not true everywhere. My brother down in Southern Maryland, you know, he plays teams that that's what they'll do. They'll come out and go for two on a routine basis. So, but around here, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's the growth of soccer or whatever it is, but we've had really reliable special teams, reliable kicking. You know, Danny King comes to mind, but obviously before that, as well, and it's a big factor, and it's just it does so show. I think it in some ways it shows how good the coaching is and how much time the coaches spend working on all aspects
and turf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Turf is huge for the kicking game. We're just so used to it now. We've had it since what 98 or 99 here in town. That's huge for the kicking game. If it's the least bit wet, and it's not turf. The wet ball just it contributes to the wet ground, and I think that's a big part of it too. You know, it's funny you mentioned kicking. It's apropos. This morning in the paper, there was a picture awarding an environmental award locally in the name of Dr. Richard Johnson, who was a really wonderful man, died very early, and Chris Johnson, his son, was in that photograph. He has the distinction of kicking two field goals to beat Fort Hill 6-2 or 6-0.
Early 80s.
Back in 81 or 82.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's ever happened in a Turkey Day game or a homecoming game, speaking of kicking, but I thought I'd throw that in there.
All right, let's get to the Frankfort Falcons. Frankfort 45, Northern 14. Tony, don't want to jinx the Falcons, but boy, they're one of the top two teams in 2A in West Virginia.
They are right now sitting at number one in the playoff rankings, number two in the power rankings that WV Metro News puts out. They're very impressive looking. You know, I had a sense that they would be when they came out against Moorfield in week one and a little flat at home. It just I don't know, there was a couple turnovers early that seemed to change the momentum. They did fine. They were able to, you know, put that. And then since then, they've really taken teams apart. A weird team that beat them twice last year. They were not in it, but they shut them out. And they looked really good against a team that I think at the end of the season, Northern's going to look good. They're going to go up and play Albert Gallatin. They look good against Fort Hill, too, as much as you could. But Frankfort looks very impressive. It starts at the line. It's senior leadership up and down the line of scrimmage from the tight end all the way down. You have Lease, who's been battling injuries. He's back. Marley. I'm missing some people. I don't have my roster in front of me. But that line, that senior leadership, and I think, you know, when we start to preview the rest of these games, it's going to be very important because I think Mountain Ridge is young on the line and a little undersized as well, and I think that's going to be a big factor in that game.
All right, Rock, let's turn our attention to Mountain Ridge losing at Frederick 28-23, the first team not named Fort Hill to beat Mountain Ridge since 2019. And Mountain Ridge still keeping it close. They're giving up a ton of yards on the ground, but somehow that winning tradition that we were talking about, whether it's Fort Hill, when Allegheny plays a lesser team like Gallatin, even if the talent seems close, you sort of rely on that tradition and knowing how to win. And Mountain Ridge, despite being outmanned by that Frederick squad, only lost by five.
Yeah, whatever that is, the psychological part of it, the emotional part of it, if you go out there, game after game, year after year, and you're so used to winning, you could get cocky, but that's not what Mountain Ridge does. I think they think they're going to go out and win every game. And losing by five down at Frederick, that kind of impressed me, especially when we heard that they suffered some pretty significant injuries that I don't have an update on that. I guess you guys don't either. But I know they're key players, and we certainly hope that those kids are ready for the Frankfort game because, you know, any football fan wants to see both teams at full strength. Their young quarterback, Kleitz, apparently did not have as good a game as he did against Allegheny before, but that's to be expected. A sophomore, he's certainly going to be far from perfect, but what we saw out of that young guy, he's going to be a real talent for Coach Shipe.
Tony, I don't know how long you've been doing the Frankfort games now, but have you ever broadcast Frankfort beating Mountain Ridge?
I think so. I'd have to look back. I'm back to 2017. They did. I think they beat them in 2019.
Yes.
And that year the Miners went 3-6. But it's been a while. And the year, one of the most complete Frankfurt teams was 2 years ago when they made it to the state semis, and they got their doors blown off at Mountain Ridge. They were never in that game. It was 36-0. It wasn't that close. I mean, Frankfurt really didn't. I mean, you could say they didn't post, but what we saw was that they were running up against a team that was maybe number two in the, like, just impressive, Mountain Ridge, and one of their best shots at a state championship. The only teams that beat Frankfurt that year were Ridge and a team that eventually played in the state semi or the state championship in West Virginia. But it's been a while, and it's been a long time coming. Last year it was very close. It was a kind of controversial call at the end for a fumble.
Oh, that's right.
That could have went the Falcons' way. But I think they're very focused on being able to make sure they can dictate the pace of that game.
That
I think
game,
be
to
key.
Clarify, is in Prosper.
It
right?
is. Yeah, it's at Mountain Ridge.
And who'd you pick, Tony? You're our...
Well, do we want to do that now? Do we want to do that in
later
segment?
Well, I'm just curious. With that, let's assume that Mountain Ridge is at full strength.
I'm taking Frankfurt. I'll see what happens when we get to Williamstown. But if things go the way you think they will, it's hard to think about picking against Frankfurt the rest of the season. Just the way their schedule shapes up and as dominant as they've been, this will be a big hurdle, and then they get to Williamstown in a couple weeks, and that'll be a big game as well.
It's hard to say Mountain Ridge wins in an upset.
I know. All right, two other local scores we want to mention. East Hardy beat Southern 36-6, and Kaiser over Hampshire 21-13. That's going to do it for our first segment on High School Football Game Day. We're here at Bellinopoli. We'll be back in just a moment.
Great food, great prices, huge portions, and great service. That's what everyone is saying about Bellinopoli on Green Street. You can order online, stop in for pizza, pasta, subs, and salads. Bellinopoli, 692 Green Street, Cumberland, or go to bellinopoli.com.
Trying to buy a car, but your credit's
a problem.
Yeah, a problem. Wish you could start over?
A redo.
No matter how bad your credit might be, D&D Motors can put you behind the wheel today. Just go to dd-motors.com and get yourself approved. D&D Motors, Route 220 in Bel Air, Route 36 in Barton.
Everything we do.
Don't be a victim of a scam or fraud. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Check out WEPCO's new Fraud Center for ways to protect yourself. Visit their website at WEPCOFCU.com for helpful articles and links.
Everything we do.
And Riverside Sports, building your brand or fielding your team, it's all right here. Your sports equipment, clothing, gear, and printing store. Logos and design, you'll find just what you're looking for. See online at shopthefinaltouch.com. The Final Touch and Riverside Sports, building your brand or fielding your team, it's all right here.
On WCBC, the region's station for sports, this is High School Game Day.
We're back with High School Football Game Day here at Bellinopoli. Tony Orndorff, Roxione, along with me, Jim Zamias. And here in our second segment, we're going to talk about the types of offenses we tend to see around here and a few outliers. What we see around here, run-heavy offenses. Allegheny, Fort Hill, Frankfurt could run usually 80% or more running plays. Then you have teams that have switched their offense. Mountain Ridge got away from that,
I love it. I love that.
And St. James is the team that will put the ball up, too. All right, so, Tony, I'll let you go first here. What are your thoughts about the run-heavy offenses that we mainly see around here and then some teams that mix it up more?
I think it really comes down to having a recognition of the team you have, the personnel you have, and the style of play you want to have, that if you're going to be playing teams with more speed or more athleticism, running the ball slows the game down shortens things up, and it allows teams to, like Frankfurt, which is often doesn't have as much speed, although this year they do have speed, to be able to compete with that. And what it does is if you can put together, I've seen Frankfurt do this many times, if you can put together two drives that chew up most of the first, quarter or more, and you can go up two scores, you really put teams that want to throw the ball in bad position because they really get locked into knowing what's going to happen, and the defense can really key in on that. So I think that's a part of it. I think it's also just going with what works. I mean, it's been working. It's worked at Fort Hill for a long time. Frankfort, again, has had a lot of success. And when Allegheny's had success, they've that's been through running. I think Allegheny is the team that probably should look for a different thing, I think. Because it's hard to be, you know, it's hard to be the second team in the city that's running, trying to do a similar thing in terms of running the ball and not being able to do it as well. So if you look for it, because that's what Mountain Ridge did. Mountain Ridge looked and said there's three area teams that are trying to run the ball, and maybe we can do something different. And they really were willing to do that and take a risk and open things up. And I think it was for them, too. I think it was playing into the personnel they had. They had people that could throw the ball. They had some speed. They had Patterson and Puali.
And what does Mountain Ridge call that offense now? It's
I don't know if they would call it a
air raid.
Yeah, we're not doing the air raid here on the west side of Cumberland in South End. But that's a good point. Rock, what are your thoughts as we've contemplated this week?
Let me come at it from a different angle. I don't disagree with anything Tony said. But, you know, we're a blue-collar town, and we like smash-mouth football going way, way back. And I think what enters into that is a kind of a macho factor, if I can call it that. We're going to hit you in the mouth, and we're going to keep doing it. And pretty soon you won't want to be on the field with us any longer. And we've seen Fort Hill and Allegheny do that. And, you know, Mountain Ridge was and Bell up and down, not as dominant as Fort Hill and Allegheny in the past. So when Ryan Patterson installed that passing offense, I don't blame him for one bit. And he certainly knew the talent that he had to run that kind of offense. But I think that's what we are. And you can hear Brian Hansel at Allegheny and Zach Alkar at Fort Hill refer to that kind of thing where, whatever you want to call it, we're going to establish what we do, and we don't think you can stop us because, in essence, we think we're tougher than you.
Well,
our kids are tougher.
18 state titles between Fort Hill and Allegheny.
There you go.
And, Tony, let's talk about that with Frankfort. Now, Kevin Whiteman began his coaching career at Bishop Walsh back in the mid-90s. He had much more of a 50-50 mix back then. But it seems like the longer he's been at Frankfort, that running game has worked. They have all these consecutive playoff appearances. If you're broadcasting a Frankfort game, what would for them to win, they probably don't want to throw more than how many passes in a contest?
Handful, 4 or 5 is probably – I'm looking at the stats right now. Now, they've thrown a lot this year comparatively. Most of that in games that were sort of – they knew they were going to win and they were trying to work on it. Against Northern, they threw 7 passes. The most they threw was Hampshire. They threw 10. I think that's about right, about 10 or you know, somewhere between 5 and 10. They want to run the ball. That's their bread and butter. That's how they establish the line of scrimmage really on both sides. I think the other thing to think about, too, in our area is it's almost all two-way football. Everyone's playing both ways. So you really run the risk. I mean, you're just you're exhausting people to have them run, like, fly patterns or run 4 wide and run, you know, patterns every play. And I think it helps keep the offensive line in the game to be able to downhill block as opposed to drop back and have to pass block, which is a little harder to do and not as much fun to do, I think, either if you're a lineman. So I think that's a lot of what's happening.
Rock, we see, I guess for Allegheny and Fort Hill, maybe 4 to 7 passes a game. Sounds about right. So it is interesting what Tony brought up about playing two-way football, if that comes into play there too.
Yeah, it certainly does, and, you know, no greater example of that than Oakdale up here against Allegheny the second game of the season. You know, they're playing almost all their kids one way. When you have 60 kids, you can do that. What the Allegheny's 21. You know, the other thing, thinking about a passing attack, we're fortunate enough to see so much high school football. When you see, I remember Oakdale last year, primarily a wide-open offense, they had those 6'5", 6'6", what, 195-pound guys out the wideouts that can go up and get the football, that can run like the wind, and they're so difficult to cover in the secondary that we're just a small population here, obviously. See, we don't see those kind of athletes here. We see tough as heck athletes. I don't care which school it is. Northern, as small as they are, I mean, you're going to hit you in the mouth, too. Yeah, that probably factors into it, too. You think of some of those receivers we've seen, Oakdale, Wadsworth from last year, the receivers they had. So, but I think I still would come back and emphasize the blue-collar thing.
Yeah.
We're going to hit you right in the mouth, and you aren't going to like it.
All right.
No, there's a desire for physicality on all the teams we see here locally, and Frankfort's no exception. I see them routinely go up against teams with more players and bigger players. Hampshire often has a lot of guys on their roster that are just physically bigger. But they're not tougher and they're not stronger. And being able to run the ball and establish the line of scrimmage does help with that.
Tony and Jim, you know, thinking back to what we just talked about in Hampshire, don't want to pick on the Trojans, but you were talking earlier about expecting to win and establish that culture. We have seen teams in Hampshire with talent and numbers and size, and they don't have that. They haven't had that since Sean Beiser.
Right. Yep. And I mean, and it's interesting when talking about Beiser and Kaiser seeming to be a little bit down as well, and he's at Morgantown, and they're right in the thick of things in the playoffs in 3A. So, you know, the other thing thinking about running the ball is the Wing T is a good offense. It's an effective offense, and it's not a boring offense. It's not an eye. It is misdirection. There is movement. There is motion. If you watch a lot of what, you know, college or pro teams do with jet motion and all that, a lot of that is Wing T concepts, and you can do that with slower guys. You can do it with faster guys. You can do it with a variety of ways, and you can throw out of it as well. I think it's just a really good, effective offense. And the other thing it is one that other teams don't see very often.
Yeah.
So when you're playing teams from other parts of Maryland or even in other parts of West Virginia, they don't see it. They don't like it. They don't know how to prep for it. They don't know how to prepare for it. You have to teach your offense how to run it so they can show those looks to your defense.
Yeah,
and that's
tough.
That's a lot of time you're spending prepping.
You're right. It's tough to prepare for it. And we've heard more than one head coach say that about preparing for the Wing T. And you're right also, if you don't have the kids with a huge size that you see in bigger schools, they don't have to be as dominant in blocking in the Wing T. Just be good, have good technique and that quickness. But I always say when Rafalsko brought the Wing T here that the starting guards were the backup fullbacks. That's who he chose. That's who he wanted.
Yeah, you need those guys to be athletic. They're on the move all game.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, in fact, when Gary Neuse had success against the Wing T, a lot of that dealt with following the guards and seeing what they were up to. So, all right, we don't expect any big change as far as running the ball, but we love bringing it to you. So that's going to do it for Segment 2. We have two topics coming up in Segment 3. You're listening to High School Football Game Day. We're here at Bellinopoli just before kickoff on a Friday night. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Great food, great prices, huge portions, and great service. That's what everyone is saying about Bellinopoli on Green Street. You can order online, stop in for pizza, pasta, subs, and salads. Bellinopoli, 692 Green Street, Cumberland, or go to bellinopoli.com.
Puffin Burger Carpet Greenspring wants everyone to come and check out their True Touch vinyl plank flooring that's water and scratch proof, and their Made in America Freedom vinyl plank flooring that is also water and scratch proof. Puffin Burger Carpet, 304-492-5814.
Hi, I'm Tim Yule with Queen City Motors and Queen City Tire and Auto. My brother Jeff and I have some exciting news for everyone. Queen City Tire and Auto is now available to all customers in the tri-state area, even if you didn't purchase your vehicle here. We have added additional technicians to better serve you, our customers, with all of your vehicle repair needs, from a minor oil change all the way up through a major engine overhaul. Everyone is welcome, so call or stop by today at Queen City Tire and Auto, your number one stop shop in Cumberland.
The Tri-State Community Concert Association presents Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring?
Saturday, October 12th, 7:30 p.m. at the Olicon Shrine Club in Cumberland. Tickets $50. Call 301-876-4880.
With a look back at last week's high school football and what to expect this weekend, you're listening to High School Game Day on WCBC Sports.
High School Football Game Day on WCBC. We're here at Bellinopoli. Jim Samias on Tony Orndorff and Rock Cioni. Rock, I wanted to talk about special teams, and Allegheny has played four games. And the snaps from center on their punts have been quite a story. I think one just flat sailed out of the end zone. They only had a punt once up at Gallatin, but again, it was way high. And
what would you call that in basketball? That was an alley-oop.
A lob.
A lob pass. There you go.
Lob for the
punt. I didn't
think
it was ever coming down.
Well, and they got the punt off. Trevin Cox has done a great job. But
he has.
You can't help but feel that, you know, if that one young man centering is struggling, there's got to be somebody else on the team. You know, a lot of times when the long snapper is different from the regular snapper.
Yes.
It'll be a guy with a running back number or wide receiver number. But don't you, when we are at St. James, you just got to hope you don't see that thing sail out to Route 65 or down to down to Antietam or something.
You know, you got me thinking, our punter when I was in high school, or excuse me, the snapper, was a third-string quarterback. And now that I remember, you know one of the reasons why they had tryouts? Because he has big hands.
Yeah.
And he could grip it and get it back there with a good spiral. I'll bet you Coach Hansel at Allegheny is still experimenting with finding the snapper. And you're right. The starting center isn't always the guy that can snap it like that. That is a skill.
Yeah, and Tony, we see that a lot, that the long snapper is somebody different than the regular center.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you make a whole career as a long snapper in the NFL.
If that's the
skill you can do. I mean, it's that in demand, and it's, you want to. What you want is to have someone there that you never have to think about. If you never have to know that person, then they're doing a good job.
That's
they're just delivering the ball back there. But it takes a lot of things out of your arsenal. It's going to be hard to run any kind of fakes or anything like that if you can't rely on the snap coming back. And obviously, it's something that people will key on to try to get in there and get to that punter, you know, and even maybe even intercept. I mean, if I did see a snap that was floating up, it ended up floating out of the back of the end zone. But, I mean, it could have been a tip drill if it had been in the field of play. And so, I mean, that it's just one more thing. And, with a small roster, it's maybe just something that you don't get a chance to work on, or you don't have enough. You have the same 20 kids, so you're running them through everything. It's kind of hard to find that time to peel off and see if you can develop that.
Rock, also, one of the things, Coach Hansel mentioned this in the Times News preview, that they lost over 10 yards per punt on average when they didn't field it.
Last year.
Yeah. Now, maybe they've done a little bit better this year, but again, that's so important to practice that and save your, especially when you have an offense like Allegheny's that relies on steadiness of its drive.
Field position.
Yeah, you don't want to fall behind all those yards, so it'll be interesting to keep tracking, are they fielding the punts? Very important.
I suspect the coaches are just badgering the kids to do that. I can't imagine that they're encouraging that in any way, shape, or form. You know, that is a hard job, returning punts. We see it all the time, so we don't think about it. I mean, you know they're coming downfield after you. And if you have you're facing a good punter and he's getting a good foot into it, boy, when they knuckle, your heart just starts beating faster and faster because you know darn well at the last second you're allowed to misjudge it somehow. It hits on your shoulder pads. And I get it to a certain extent with kids, but you got to suck it up. And you got to – the more you do it, the better you can run up and catch them, the better you're going to get.
Tony, the one team we've always praised for special teams is Fort Hill. Now, stunningly, last Friday – they had a punt blocked for a touchdown, and then late in the game, up two scores, they had a fourth and one at their own 19 or 20, and they went for it instead of punting it. So that was bizarre. Brad Reed kept badgering Zach Alcott
about it.
So did we think that was because they didn't trust the punt situation there, or they thought that would be a way to maybe they could pick up that yard? I mean, it's deep in the – but we see people going for it now more frequently – even into their own territory, into negative territory, their own territory, fourth and short. I wasn't there. Do you think it was a worry on the punt or a proactive plan to try to pick it up?
I would say it was a worry on the punt.
I think it was the Jabril Daniels factor, that he somehow can pick it up, but who knows?
I don't know.
It was a daring move. What was it, at the 19 or something like that? Sometimes I get my
daring is one adjective.
We saw, we were talking about fielding punts. Just in the, I guess it was the Lions game last Monday. They were trying to field a punt, and it kind of took them. No, it wasn't that. It was the Packer game because it was in the sun. And it took the player back, and he got lost in the sun. It bounced off a shoulder pad, and it can be fraught. Now we don't normally see people fighting in the sun on there, but.
We could see that Thursday.
Yeah, you could see
St.
that.
James,
the sun could be in a weird position in the sky at that point. So
thinking back, guys, one of the other things that could center into it, if they do practice that, obviously, if you didn't have really good, like 100% success in practice, and you go to the game and you're a punt returner, that is in your head.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, we don't want to stray into science, but
no,
I am going to have to question Tony at some point about how is the sun in a weird position in the sky. That is frightening.
That sounds like science fiction.
It sounds like the Book of Revelations. We don't have time.
Copernicus and a lot of heliocentric models.
Copernicus.
You can get involved there. There's a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
The sun moved on me, Coach. I don't know where I went. All right. Enough of that. The second topic here on High School Football Game Day during segment three, attendance at games.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Todd Helmick, he must think high school football 23 hours a day.
You know, I love that he does that because everybody else you talk to, they want to talk about professional football.
Well, here's what he wrote on MD Varsity.
Yeah, it was good.
Our population's down, then that's factor one. Few students come to games. Three, senior citizens don't do bad weather. There's three radio stations and two ways to stream it. And the rising costs of going to games, including $4 pizza now at the stadium, and stricter rules for young people attending. Rock, have at it.
Can I attack the last one first?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, students and the rule that was just last year. The Board of Ed put that rule in about middle school and younger had to be accompanied by an adult. We saw a drop off in students. You pointed that out, Jim. That's got to be 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
The drop off in students, because we always used to highlight, Tony can relate to this, that the number of students at Frankfurt and Kaiser is so obvious when you go to a game, and it is not obvious for Fort Hill and Allegheny games. So that would be one point I'd make, and then Tony can jump in. The aging population, if you think about Fort Hill especially, I mean, they've had folks, God love them. I mean, so many of them have passed away in the last few years, prominent names as Fort Hill fans. I mean, one of the things about some of those folks is you immediately associate them with Fort Hill football. And, you know, that's just a reality. They started out as Big Red fans when they were in the 50s,
sure,
into the early 60s, and so many of them are gone.
And, Tony, I went to the Frankfurt-Moorefield game, and I was struck by how many younger people were there, and that was fun. So I don't know if you had the same reaction to this topic as Rock and I do, spending a lot of time at Greenway.
Well, you know, we've said this before, but Greenway's just, I think it's just too big for the community that is using it. Frankfurt's, you know, the home bleachers are not that big, and so they get packed up, and even, you know, and it is. It's a good atmosphere. The noise is there, the crowd noise, and like the announcers and all the coaches are sort of right over top all that, the home bleachers. You know, Fort Hill, I think, still shows, and they travel well as well in terms of their fan base. But that's a fan base that knows we're going to be playing for a long time. So are we going to show up to go to the Northern game? Maybe not, but they'll be there. They know that, you know, they show for the big games. I think in general, though, people do less. People go out less. They
That's
go to the
true.
Movies less.
For
they
sure.
go. They just
whether
people
it's money
do,
or not.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that, but it's also like people spend a lot of money on home entertainment setups, and so there is a sort of pull to just stay home. And you know, you there's a lot of options there. So just people in general just do less.
What are you guys' thoughts? What are your thoughts on the media? Well, the other night up at the Fort Hill game, there were three radio stations plus whoever streams plus. Greg Honeycutt does his thing that does it so well. People will watch it at 10 o'clock. I think it's still on at 10 o'clock.
I don't know. See, to me, it doesn't appeal to me, but I think for younger people, it may. I know Tony will watch the streaming. By the way, your point as a younger parent about what you spend for entertainment at home, people do not go out as much.
No, they don't.
Heck, when Rock and I would go to games with Gilmore and O'Rourke, they'd be, you know, spend this night at some club in Crestertown. They're dancing. I mean, people went out.
No.
And it's so different now.
I mean, I go out, but what I go is I go to Sally's or I go to another dance studio or I go to play practice. I mean, that's where I'm going because kids are really involved in things.
Right.
More so than, like, well, I did the sport that was in season, and that's pretty much what I did. But, you know, my girls are all over the place, so that's what we do. And then if we're home, we're home, and you spend a lot of money to make the home a nice place.
Yeah. I don't want to bring this up, but are we still bouncing back from COVID and that sense of...
I think we're getting to a new reality based on that.
I
do think that's true, but I think it's a trend that we probably would see been happening well before then as well. I just think in general there's less people, and there's less people inclined to go out and do things.
Yeah.
The media is probably a factor, too.
The interesting is when you guys mentioned a second ago, despite, like, that wasn't a good crowd for Fort Hill the other night.
No.
That's what prompted, I think, Todd to write that on MD Varsity. But they still travel like heck.
Yeah.
When it's especially a Dunbar playoff game, Big Reds fans will show up.
All right. Now, real quick, before we take our last break, Cheap Shot of Washington County Football. I was looking at a preview.
We love cheap shots.
Of the St. James Allegheny game. They had previews of all their games.
Yeah, well.
South Hagerstown is 1-3. North Hagerstown's 0-4. They got beat 80-0 combined last week. Smithsburg's 0-4. They're playing 0-4 in North Hagerstown this weekend.
They play Fort Hill this year, right?
Yeah.
Love them.
And the Hancock's 1-3. So.
So
I'm sure they do other things well down there.
I was going to ask.
Like, South High used to have the greatest band on the East Coast.
Are they big? Are there big soccer programs down there? That's what I'm wondering. Like what?
Their volleyball is good down there, but football's not working.
Right.
So at any rate, just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, that was good. We like to take a shot at that.
Oh, absolutely. Quick and cheap. All right, we're going to take our last break here on High School Football Game Day. When we come back, we're going to look at our picks for this weekend. You're listening to High School Football Game Day on WCBC.
Great food, great prices, huge portions, and great service. That's what everyone is saying about Bellinopoli on Green Street. You can order online, stop in for pizza, pasta, subs, and salads. Bellinopoli, 692 Green Street, Cumberland, or go to bellinopoli.com.
Everything we do.
Don't be a victim of a scam or fraud. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Check out WEPCO's new Fraud Center for ways to protect yourself. Visit their website at WEPCOFCU.com for helpful articles and links.
Everything we do, it's true. We do for you.
The Final Touch and Riverside Sports. Building your brand or fielding your team, it's all right here. Your sports equipment, clothing, gear, and printing store. Logos and design, you'll find just what you're looking for. See it online at shopthefinaltouch.com. The Final Touch and Riverside Sports. Building your brand or fielding your team, it's all right here.
WCBCRadio.com, now with easier and faster internet streaming. One click does it all. Just click on the Listen Now box in the upper right-hand corner on our website, on your phone or on computer. Streaming at the speed of now on WCBCRadio.com.
With what's going on in local high school football, this is High School Game Day from WCBC Sports.
High School Football Game Day on WCBC. We're here at Bellinopoli. What a great place. Open Wednesday through Sunday. And now we'll get to our picks. And overall for the season, Mike Allen is 24-3. My record is 24-3. Let's see here. Brad, 22-5. Mike Conley, 22-5. Garrett, 22-5. And Tony and Rock, 21-6.
Well, I think that's because Tony and I don't go along with what's popular. You know, that old saying, popular is not always right. What's right is not always popular. We go out on a limb a little bit.
Yes. Sure. That.
Right or now. Maybe it's just what I need to do is remember to send these on time and not necessarily spend a lot of time researching it. So the important thing is the picks are in on time.
Oh, my goodness.
That is the most important thing.
All right. So, you fans are going to be hearing this on Friday. We've already done the Allegheny-St. James game. We're recording this on Wednesday. And it was unanimous. Everybody's picking Allegheny. The Hagerstown Herald-Mail picked St. James. You know, Rock, I said the week of the Mountain Ridge game after Allegheny lost, it's not a sure thing they're going to win all these. It was a struggle with Gallatin. I think they're going to beat St. James, but I think it's going to be a great contest. So we'll see. Listen to us on Saturday morning quarterback. And
I'm kind of with Tony. I think the key is they beat Albert Gallatin last week.
Right. It's huge. Yeah, I think it's huge.
Okay. Northern at Hampshire. We all pick Northern. Tony, real quick about Northern. You've seen them this year. How much do they pass the ball these days?
Not very much. You know, they're normally good for a halfback pass once
right,
a game.
That's right.
I don't think they
that's
dusted that off. They were really trying to establish the run game. It was really tough again. It was just tough sledding, and it was bad weather last week. It didn't stop Frankfurt from trying to throw the ball. I think they ended up throwing it 7 times last week, and a couple of like on first and second down, not like desperation throws. Northern didn't seem to throw as much, but I think it could have been weather. The game plan for them would be to come in and try to establish the line of scrimmage. Hampshire will try to throw it. They're trying to run more now. Aaron Rule was the coach before. He's not the coach now, and he was very committed to throwing. But it just never seems to add up at Hampshire.
Something always seems to go wrong.
And you know, and that, I'll tell you, that's a good atmosphere and good crowd. Like crowds turn out. It's a good. It's not a bad place. They got a nice turf field.
It's terrific down there. When you know, it's hard to point out consecutive years when they were good, but you go back to Sean Beiser. They filled the place. It was a great atmosphere. You're right.
So yeah, and that's still true. And you know, when I got there, like there were boosters out there directing traffic, and they're giving me a hard time because Frankfurt had been whining about their classification, and they hadn't. Like they're into it. It's not that they're not into it, but when it's one school in a whole county, it's hard to get everyone to practice. Basically.
Yeah. All right. Kaiser versus Weir. Weir way down this year. So, everybody pick Kaiser. Tony, did you pick Weir?
I did pick Weir.
All right. Yeah, I saw that. It jumped right off the
Tell us about
screen.
That.
Well, I'm either going to look brilliant or I'm going to look foolish. And I'm comfortable with both. I'm much more comfortable with the foolishness. This is a pick that's really about Kaiser. I'm not buying Kaiser. A one-score win against Berkeley Springs is not impressive. Against Hampshire is not particularly impressive.
Well, they 2-2.
Yeah, I just Weir is not. They're down, but they're used to winning in a way that I don't know if Kaiser still has that kind of juice. So,
Kaiser's at home, however, right?
Yeah, and so that's if it was at Weir, I'd be more confident. So this was just kind of I was interested in trying to take it a flyer on this, trying to pick something a little different in terms of this contest, trying to make up ground.
You're trying to get at those cannolis, aren't you?
Indeed, but. It won't surprise me if Kaiser wins, but it would not surprise me at all if they come out flat and can't deal with. So Weir had some athletes and they can move the ball a little bit.
Falling on hard times.
All right, let's go to Southern versus 100. Everybody picked Southern. 100 got beat by Hancock handily.
Southern beat Hancock.
Yes. So. Looks good for the Rams getting their second win.
I think 100 is on the schedule specifically for this purpose. I mean, they're a small school. It's a good school, and good momentum for Southern. Keep moving so that they can keep building.
All right.
That's the key.
And building, now we got two games left. We have Fort Hill hosting Briar Woods. Everybody took Fort Hill. Rock, last year, Fort Hill had to go down there to Ashburn, Virginia, kind of the home territory of the Commanders. Fortress down there. What are your thoughts as we head into Fort Hill and Briar Woods on Friday night?
Well, were they 28-0 last year? Is that what it was against Briar Woods down there? I see Fort Hill by two touchdowns. I don't think if this Briar Woods team like to play that open offense, where you throw it a lot, I don't see that bothering Fort Hill a whole lot. That secondary is that strong for the Sentinels. Boy, they come up with secondary players. Yeah, we commented on that a couple years ago. I remember how good they were in the secondary. So I think Fort Hill by two scores. I just hope it's a really good game and Big Red wins it.
Tony, Briar Woods, a team that's hard to know a lot about if you haven't seen them. They're down there in Northern Virginia. They're playing schools we really don't know well. What are your thoughts about Fort Hill heading into that one?
I don't think Fort Hill loses again the rest of the season. I really don't. I think they put that Dunbar game on the schedule early enough to see what could happen, and they're going to build from that. And I think they're off to the races right now. They will not see another team as talented or as athletic in the rest of 1A or on their schedule as they did at Dunbar. And I just don't see them losing again. I think they'll play. I don't think it matters who lines up on the other side. It was 28-0 down there last year. I just don't think it matters now. Whoever the Sentinels have, I think they're going
to
win.
They're on the way to another title, fellas.
All right.
I'm not supposed to say that out loud, but tell me who's going to beat them in 1A, and I'll listen.
All right. Now, our last game, and Garrett has deemed this our feature game, Frankfurt Mountain Ridge. And, Tony, let's say it's, people are listening right now. It's 5:45, 5:50 on a Friday afternoon, and they're listening to WCBC. Now, if they want to hear that game, what should they do?
Classic Hits 107. We'll have it. I'll be there with Liam Rhodes. He made his debut last week, did a great job. Former Bishop Walsh Spartan athlete and back in town, bringing his young family back. So we'll be there with the game. It's going to be a great game, and we'll have a great broadcast for you. And, so that's where to go for it, Classic Hits 107. I'm looking forward to that. I look forward to that game anytime. you know, Frankfort plays some teams that I don't know, but when they play teams like Mountain Ridge or Northern or local teams, there's a little bit more to it.
There'll be a buzz up there.
I really do think
so. No matter
so.
What the records are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's not a, is it their homecoming? Do you know, Tony, at Mountain Ridge?
I don't know that.
It was.
But I think it might be. That sounds right. I don't want to say for sure, but I think it could be homecoming. Yeah, I know it was last week for Frank.
And
it's right around that time.
Mountain Ridge has not lost at home in this decade.
Yeah.
So that's on the line.
Yeah, Yeah, it was 2019. I think their last game at home was Kaiser, and Kaiser beat them.
Yeah, and was it 2 years ago? The score was 36-0.
2 years ago, 36-0. There,
Mountain Ridge.
Yeah, and I don't. Well,
that was
we'll
an
get into scores,
awfully
but.
Good Mountain Ridge team, guys.
Yes.
Oh my. Well, yeah.
Maybe one of the best teams they've ever had.
It took Cohen hitting two field goals.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
What a team they had.
I was listening to that game while I was down at the Greenbrier, and I thought, wow.
Your title game.
This is something, yes. All right, now let's see what everyone picked here. So there's not a lot of play here. So far, the only diversion is Tony picking a Weir against Kaiser. And we have only one diversion here on this Frankfort-Mountain Ridge game. So let's see. Brad picks 28-21 Frankfort. Mike Conway has 35-14 Frankfort. Garrett has 29-16 Frankfort. Mike Allen has Mountain Ridge 21, Frankfort 20. And now it is time for us to make our picks.
And Mike Allen's in first place all for the season thus far,
he's
right?
He's tied
with
somebody.
You. Okay,
yeah.
So.
But there will be a weird tiebreaker that it won't go to me. At any rate, Rock.
It won't go to you.
No, it won't.
That sounds like you're.
I have the scroll here somewhere with the information, but we can talk about it later.
It's about four.
Yeah,
five
if you
pages.
Have that tiebreaker, that would be fun to go over. Garrett, back August 17th, sent us a full-page memo on how we calculate who wins a week. If you had,
that's because you guys have griped at him so much.
He doesn't care. What happened last week was Mike Allen and I both had all the games right, and we were each within 1 point.
Yes.
So it seemed it should have been a tie.
No, not in Garrett's world.
Whoever is closest to that score that week wins. If there's a tie between two people in the overall score, the order of operation goes to whose winning team's score is I'm reading it verbatim.
Order of operation.
However, what's the date on those instructions, Tony?
This is from earlier in the – yeah, this is from August.
It's not the same – so it wasn't last week's date.
No, this is from –
they
this
weren't
is,
formulated after Jim no. got screwed.
So order keep of operation going. Goes to winning team's score is closest, then whose losing team score is closest – that's still a deadlock. They'll go. Both people get a win, and we just plus up everybody.
Garrett needs to get married so he doesn't have some time on his hands.
There it is.
is how Mike Allen deservedly was the winner last week. So,
so he's got a, 21-20 Mountain
he
Ridge?
He has Mount, yes. And, Rock, do you have your score in front of you there? What do you
have? I have Frankfort 28-17.
And I like the 17. You want to explain why you chose
their
that?
Their young kicker, Tyler Cook, is excellent. And I could picture them driving down, being stymied, and settling for a 35-yard field goal.
The thought, the research
yeah,
that goes into these picks.
It's truly amazing. I guess the fact that we have time to come up with all this is
frightening.
Really frightening.
All right. Tony, what did you pick?
I have it Frankfort 42-14.
Well,
I think
that's a lot of points,
I think Frankfort comes out early. They're able to get a lead, maybe a two-touchdown lead. Then the defense pins its ears back. They put Mountain Ridge in bad situations, and they're able to tee off. I think they pressure the quarterbacks, whoever the quarterback is for Mountain Ridge, and are able to shut the passing attack down. This is a Mountain Ridge team that gave up 400-plus yards to Allegheny.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
Frankfort is an order of magnitude better running the ball than Allegheny is. I know Mike Allen has them scoring 20 points. It is impossible for this Frankfort team to score that few points in a game. They're that good.
Take that.
That is a declaration.
We AM Maryland types.
Yes, you just have to admire the boldness of Tony.
The tenacity.
I'm glad you reminded listeners about how many yards Allegheny ran up against Mountain Ridge.
And in 2 weeks, it was over 700 because Frederick had over 300. All right.
Right.
With that said, my score, I don't look at the other scores, I mean, or picks, really, what the other people do.
I don't either.
It's more fun. I'll just do it.
Yeah,
I
don't look either.
Yeah, all right. With that said.
But I never win.
I went, first week you did. I went further than Tony. I went hog wild here. I have Frankfort winning 48-20. I don't think he can give up 700 yards rushing and then play an unbeaten team that rushes the ball and beat them. I don't know how Mountain Ridge stays with them.
What is that, six touchdowns? No.
Well, it could be six touchdowns and two field goals. Does Frankfurt ever
eight
kick field goals?
Frankfurt does kick field goals. They have, they've been successful this year. Rhett Sensabaugh is, I think, a junior at this point. He hasn't missed one yet. They've set him up a couple of times. He's also been good, a little bit better earlier in the season at touchbacks. He's only had one per in the last couple of games, but he had four in one game, maybe three in another, so that's another factor for them. And then they have a backup kicker, Jesus Perdue, who's also come in and hit a field goal and has been punting as well. So they have depth at special teams.
Do we know enough about Frankfurt's pass defense to know if Mountain Ridge is going to put it in the air?
They're going to put well, you can tell I'm not worried about it, but they've given up 323 yards passing. They held Northern. Northern went 1 of 6 for -4.
There's a lot of that in the last.
Hampshire did the most damage, and that was all in mop-up time. Hampshire threw for 247 yards.
So nobody's thrown consistently against the first.
No, and again, it starts at the line.
Yeah. And they've played four games?
Yes.
Well, you know, to have teams behind all the time and average less than 100 a game, that's pretty good pass defense.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, running the ball, they're averaging just under 10 yards a carry.
Will they put pressure on that young kid?
I think so. I don't know, and the other thing is they won't need to bring extra people to bring pressure.
They won't need to bring the house?
They will be able to, they'll be able to get
only
pressure.
Only in the red zone will they bring the house.
They'll be able to get pressure. Do you know how hard it's been for me to not say in terms of being behind the chains? I've had it a couple of times.
Well, it'll be better for you in the long run.
Well, for you to do tackles for loss. Can you work TFLs in your broadcast?
They'll get pressure with the front four. They will. That'll be plenty. And then I look for Netting to probably have an interception at some point in that game, and watch for Julian Pattison at middle linebacker as well.
So fans have, you know, tomorrow's game could be a really good ball game. Friday night's could be a good one. And Friday night in Frostburg.
Stay tuned.
So a lot going on.
CBC Absolutely. Network. That is going to wrap it up. High school football game day. We're at Bellinopoli. Come on over and visit. It's just great. We thank Levi Lutz for hosting us. We thank Molly for being great as always.
Very nice over here.
I will continue to call her Cumberland's number one waitress. Not a problem. Number one server. Maybe that's the term we use these days.
She's certainly a friendly young woman.
She is.
We appreciate her.
BW grad, of course, Tony.
It's nice to walk in and people have a smile on their face here.
All right. Garrett and Mike will be back next week. Thank goodness for all of you, I'm sure. But we had fun, which is all we ever evaluate these things on. So that's going to wrap it up. For Roxione and Tony Orndorff, this is Jim Zamias. You've been listening to High School Football Game Day. Let's now go to the stadium.